What's good, Zimbabwe Muhle Lingali Chona Njani Mthakazo Muhle Zimbabwe Muhle. If you're tuning in right now, welcome wherever you are in the world. If you're in Africa, good evening. If you're in America, good afternoon to you. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to The Connection. Coming to you live from our studios in Washington, D.C., Muria, Zimbabwe. Uhlelo lwabasakhulayo, The Connection with Mike Hove. Brought to you by Studio 7, a voice of America, Muria, Zimbabwe. And today is Tuesday, the 18th of May, 2021. Muria, Zimbabwe. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Once again, Muria Zimbabwe, from wherever you're tuning in, wherever you are in the world, good evening, welcome to The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. Tonight on The Connection, Muria Zimbabwe, we continue discussing the COVID-19 pandemic, igciwane le coronavirus, chirwere che COVID-19, choyendramberi chitekere shera pasirose. The COVID-19 pandemic responsible for taking millions of lives across the globe, thousands of lives in Zimbabwe. However, the conversation is not just going to be ending there. Muria Zimbabwe, uhlelo aluphethele khonapha. We're also going to be talking about the current state of education in Zimbabwe. If you're looking to join us, Muria Zimbabwe, the number to call is +1 202 619 2077. The number again, +1 202 619 2077. For those that are streaming this program, and if you're tuning in via radio and you have access to the internet, please feel free to come stream the program on our three Facebook pages where we're broadcasting live, those being VOA Ndebele, VOA Shona, and of course VOA Studio 7. For those watching on our Facebook pages, remember to press the share button. Press the share button so that we can watch the program in our numbers. And of course, for those that are on our Facebook pages as we speak, like. Don't forget to press the like button. I was a chokwadi Muria Zimbabwe. Namhlanje kuhlelo lwethu sisonke like so. We're together. Pano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki. Feel free to write your comments in the comment section, and we're going to be reading all those comments live on air. So linga koshi zulugandaba +1 202 619 2077 is the number if you're looking to call in live on air. Might I forget to mention, Muria Zimbabwe, namhlanje we're launching in a new studio session. So for those that are watching us, as you can see, this is a completely different setup. We're in a new studio, Muria Zimbabwe. We thank you all for joining the program as we launch in our new studios. Now, without wasting time, Muria Zimbabwe, let's delve into it. Coronavirus, the COVID-19 pandemic, once again, responsible for taking millions of lives across the globe, thousands alive in Zimbabwe. An update, the most recent statistics released by the Ministry of Child Care and Health. Zimbabwe is currently on 38,572 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 36,349 recoveries, and 1,582 deaths. Now, last night alone, Muria Zimbabwe, 1,834 PCR tests were conducted, 12 new cases were detected, 20 recoveries, and 0 deaths. Some good news, amazing news there. The country currently has 641 active COVID-19 cases, and to date, when we talk about how many people have received the COVID-19 vaccine, 591,808 people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. So those are the latest statistics released by the Ministry of Health and Child Care. For those watching on our Facebook page, you saw there the graphic that we have courtesy of the Ministry and Ministry of Health and Child Care's Twitter page. Now, without what's on the same discussion of vaccines, Muria Zimbabwe, let's delve into what Zimbabwe has been able to accomplish, what Zimbabwe has been able to do. Now, since the most recent announcement by the World Health Organization, lapo bathi thumbs up to those using the Sinopharm vaccine on an emergency basis. They gave the green light, saying it is okay to use the Sinopharm vaccine on an emergency basis. The Zimbabwean government decided, you know what, let's intensify on our efforts to ensure that people continue gain confidence in the Sinopharm vaccine. So now what they've done is they've been, over time, they've been launching different educational programs, but now they've intensified. Now they've actually launched a program that is playing on radio, TV, and is on all the Ministry of Health publications. That is the website, the Twitter page, and of course, the Facebook page. Let us take a look at the most recent clip that they created, whereby people are getting an education in terms of what is a vaccine, how does it work, and of course, how many vaccines are used in Zimbabwe. The next clip you're about to watch is courtesy of the Ministry of Health and Childcare's Twitter page.
What is a COVID-19 vaccine? It is a vaccine that is intended to provide immunity against COVID-19. Several safe and effective vaccines have now been produced and approved for use, and countries have rolled out COVID-19 vaccination programs to protect people. Currently, Zimbabwe is using Sinopharm, Sinovac, both from China, and Covaxin from India. Other countries using the Sinopharm vaccine include Namibia, Gabon, Congo, Egypt, Equatorial Guinea, Cameroon, among others. Are vaccines necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19? Yes, vaccines are an essential public health measure for the prevention and control of COVID-19 locally and globally. Vaccines have been a major pillar for the control of similar epidemics in the past and will equally be important for COVID-19. The vaccines will complement existing prevention and control measures and not replace them. Zimbabwe, together with the rest of the world, is rolling out safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines to control and eventually eliminate COVID-19 burden in the country. Who can get vaccinated from COVID-19? Nearly everyone can get vaccinated. However, because of some medical conditions, some people should not get certain vaccines or should wait before getting them. Your healthcare provider will help to decide on which vaccine is recommended or not recommended for your condition. Are there enough COVID-19 vaccines for everyone? Currently, there is a limited supply of COVID-19 vaccines globally due to high demand. This means not everyone in Zimbabwe will get vaccinated right away. Vaccination is done in phases, starting with high-risk groups until all eligible people are vaccinated and protected. The aim is to achieve herd immunity by vaccinating 60% of the population.
Ngempela liyazwela Zulukandaba, bayachasisa uhlelo lukahulumende, it's an educational program. Bayachasisa ngempela okwenzakalayo elizweni okumayelana ngohlelo lokuhlaba abantu iJackson elivikela iCOVID-19. Bayasho ngempela ukuthi hayi, uhlelo selufikile elizweni, sikhuluma nje kulama vaccine amathathu, kule Covaxin, kule Sinopharm, and kule enye evele edabuka kwele China. Saka nditsho kachirongwa chamuri kuzvonirawoka chakaparwa nehurumende vari kudzidzisa vanhu nezvenhomba dziri kushandiswa munyika dzeCOVID-19. Now, to help us understand more with regards to these vaccinations and, of course, the Zimbabwe's vaccination program, we're joined by Dr. Tinotela Simemeza, joining us live via Skype from Harare. Dr. Simemeza, welcome to the program, man.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Doc. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Tutanga chinte happy belated birthday, ka? Well, thank you so much for, as usual, man. We always appreciate you taking time out to join us and educating our audience on the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's delve into it, Doc. We're talking about the vaccination program in Zimbabwe. Recently, we heard, I guess, the government has been celebrating. The World Health Organization recently announced that it's okay, green light emergency usage of the Sinopharm vaccine. As people are part of the medical fraternity in Zimbabwe, how did you guys react to that information?
I think we're happy that the WHO has finally put it on the list. And we are grateful that people are being vaccinated against COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And it has also increased the confidence of the people in receiving the vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk a little more in terms of the vaccination program in Zimbabwe. Let's just look at some of the numbers here. Current statistics say 591,808 people have taken the first dose, 222,450 have taken both first and second jabs. And in the past 24 hours, 10,193 have taken their first jab, 7,118 have taken their second jab. There seems to be an increase here in terms of how many people are taking the vaccines. How do you guys feel about that?
I think it's a good. We're doing good in terms of more people are now taking the vaccine, mm-hmm. and the numbers are increasing day by day. Mm-hmm. I think it's also of the educational content that is being put out, mm-hmm. But also. Just the confidence since other healthcare workers and frontline workers also took the vaccine, so most people are now beginning to feel a little bit confident. Mm-hmm. But also, there's also a fear of the Indian variant,
right.
So most people are also getting the vaccine so that they protect themselves from the new variant that is being mentioned.
Let's talk about that variant. It's now in Zimbabwe. It's been confirmed. A couple of cases have been confirmed of the Indian variant. What does this mean for Zimbabweans at large?
So I think as we discussed from the beginning that the viruses mutate depending on the different regions, different environments they are in. And they mutate to adapt to those environments. So this is the same with the Indian variant. Although there's not much data at the moment for us to know whether it is more infective than the variants we've experienced so far, or whether it is more dangerous than the variants we've experienced so far. All we know that the pandemic in India has been really ravaging, and people have been really experiencing the worst of it. Mm-hmm. But we are not yet sure whether the variant, the COVID-19 variant that is coming from India, is actually more effective or more potent than the ones they have experienced.
So what words would you have to Zimbabweans who have seen what's happened in India, who see what's happening in Britain and other places of the world where this variant is existent? What words would you have to them?
My words would be the same, that we continue adhering to the safety measures that we've been taking for the past year. Mm-hmm. Wear your mask, social distancing. Continue being hygienic, especially hand washing and so forth. So the pandemic is not yet over. It goes on in cycles, and we need to continue being vigilant so that we protect our loved ones who are close to us.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Simemeza, ndoda mbobata nyaya ine rurimi rwamaikuitira kuti vanongotaurawo shona vambonzwisisawoka zviri kuitika munyika. Tikuona nhamba yevanhu vari kuendera mberi vachitora nhomba yeCOVID-19 inenge iri kuenda iriramba iri ichikwira. Vanhu vari kutambira nemazvo mashoko akaburitswa nesangano reWorld Health Organization vachiti aiwa, it's now okay kushandisa nhomba yeSinopharm yechimbi-chimbi yatinoti nechirungu emergency usage. Senyanzvi munyaya dzeutano, mashoko aya makamatambira sei, uyezve mungati zviri kubatsira vanhu veZimbabwe here mukuda kutora nhomba iyi yeSinopharm?
Ya, izvi zvinhu zvatatambira zvikuru zvekuti besera kuti population yedu ikwanise kuvaccinatewa, tikwanise kuprotectana from this coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And so that my infections ari munharaunda dzatinogara kuitira kuti aite mashoma, uyezve kuti tisakwawanikwe tichiwana the worst of the disease kana kuti chirwere chisazoti affecta maningi kana uchinge vachiwana. Saka izvi zvinhu zvatiri kukubvira enge tinokurudzira mhuri yeZimbabwe kuti irambe yakadaro ichitora nhombai.
Ko, nyaya yevariant yeCOVID-19 iri kubva kuIndia yaakunzi yaakuwanikwa muZimbabwe, tiri kuona kuIndia yaparadza nyika yose, vanhu vari kufa neuwandu hwavo. Zvizvarwa zveZimbabwe vanofanira kutambira sei nyaya iyi yekuti ivariant yekuIndia yasvikawo munyika?
Taka zvisine kuti variant ipi yeku India, yeku South Africa, yeku UK, mashoko ndiwawo, yekuti tinofana kuramba takashinga, tichipfeka mamask edu, tichisanitize, tichigeza maoko edu, tichimaintain a social distancing as long as chirwere ichi tichinacho sezvazviri. Tinofana kuramba takadaro, tichitevedzera maguidelines ari kutaurwa neMinistry of Health, kuti tizvidzivirire kuti tisakwanise kuwana coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Saka panhau yevariant iri kubva kuIndia, hatisati tanatsoistadha kuti tinatsoziva kuti is it more dangerous than mavariants atange tichiexperienza, because there are certain conditions ari kuIndia anokwanisa kunge ari kucontributa mukuafektwa kuri kuitwa vanhu nechirwere checoronavirus. Akadarikira kuti kune population yakati wandei, uyezve nyaya dzepollution, nyaya dzekushayikwa kweoxygen, inyaya dzakawanda wanda. Saka hatisi kunatsoziva isusu pane zvino whether iri nyaya yenhomba iyi, sorry, iri nyaya yevariant here kana kuti inyaya yemaconditions ari kuIndia.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Simemeza, let me hold you on Skype there for 1 second. I want to show our audience what's happening in America with regards to the COVID-19 vaccine. And then, of course, we're going to come back to you as our medical expert so that you can comment and explain to the audience your opinion on that. And, of course, whether or not it would help Zimbabwe. Now, Umuria Zimbabwe, next up, I would like to head over to a clip where we have of the American CDC. Those who look over anything that is COVID-19 related, anything that is vaccine related, where they're talking about the latest regulations happening in America. Now, bear in mind, America at some stage and point was one of the most affected areas by the COVID-19 pandemic. Recently, they've released new regulations that have been met by Americans and people across the globe with mixed reactions. Let's head over to that clip of the CDC explaining the new regulations in America.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. If you are fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things that you had stopped doing because of the pandemic. We have all longed for this moment when we can get back to some sense of normalcy. Based on the continuing downward trajectory of cases, the scientific data on the performance of our vaccines, and our understanding of how the virus spreads, that moment has come for those who are fully vaccinated. Now, if you are immune compromised, you will most definitely want to talk to your doctor before giving up your mask. Also, locations such as healthcare facilities will continue to follow their specific infection control recommendations.
Well, Zulugandaba liyezwa phela ukuthi okwenzakalayo kwele Melika bayasho ngempela ukuthi if you've taken a vaccine, both jabs, be it Moderna, be it Johnson and Johnson, be it Pfizer, lapha kwele Melika bayasho ngempela ukuthi life might slowly, well, let me not say might, is slowly returning to normal for you if you've taken the both jabs of the vaccine. Of course, if it's Johnson and Johnson, utati vaccine ijab A1 kuphela. Saka ndizvo zviri kuitika ku America muno, ma America vari kutsanangura kuti aiwa vatora nomba for those vakabaiwa nomba mbiri kana vakatora Moderna kana vakatora Pfizer, hanzi aiwa upenyu wakudzoka in the manner that you knew it. Vakuti hanzi kune zvimwe unzvimbo vachotanga kutodeclare vachiti hanzi it's okay kuti mupinde mumashops nemachichi musina kupfeka mamask, hanzi kana muchisangana nehuwandu hwenyu. They've slowly relaxed the amount of people that you can meet at the same time. Now izvi zviri kusangana nevamwewo vari kufara nazvo vachiti they miss our life as they know it, and the others who are celebrating. Now, let me head back to Dr. Simemeza. Dr. Simemeza, you see what's happening in America. You're the medical expert. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
So, I think our approach to what is happening should be considered by region, and why is America doing that? I think scientifically, when one has been vaccinated, it means that the chances of them fighting off the disease is higher, mm-hmm, compared to those who are not vaccinated. So if two people have been vaccinated and they are together, their chances of fighting the virus is higher, and thus protecting themselves and also lowering the chances of infecting the next person.
Mm-hmm.
So this would probably work in environments like the USA, where they are easily monitoring those who have been vaccinated. The records are there, and I wouldn't know how they are tracking and or how they will know that this person has been vaccinated or not in public. But I think scientifically speaking, it means the chances of you being infectious and also fighting off the disease are higher when you are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I would say I think it's also a way of them trying to encourage the population to be vaccinated. But I think this can only apply in the American context, where they can easily track those who have been vaccinated and those who have not been vaccinated. So, because it will be difficult in places like ours,
mm-hmm.
where you would not be able to identify those who have been vaccinated or not been vaccinated, mm-hmm. because we have papers that, yes, and sometimes they get lost, and sometimes you might lose it. Mm-hmm. So it depends on how America is tracking those that have been vaccinated, which is what we're too well vested.
But Dr. Smemeza, in Zimbabwe, are people, upon receiving your vaccination jabs, do they not get the same passport that we receive in America? They call it the vaccination passport, where it's stamped showing the date, time, place where you took the vaccine?
Yeah, they're receiving it. We are receiving it as well. I don't know if in America they are doing electronic cards as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've received the vaccine. I received the vaccine a long time ago, and I received the actual paper. I did not get an electronic thing, but they get the paper with the sticker and the dates where you took the vaccine, how you received it, what vaccine you received, and all that. Is that not the same in Zimbabwe?
That's the same in Zimbabwe. So I thought it was different in America. But so what I'm saying is, if they can be able to really track, and also sometimes in certain environments, there's proof of there are counterfeit certificates. I don't know how they might be handling that so that they don't mix up. So my advice for certain regions like ours is that we continue up until the pandemic has settled.
Mm-hmm.
But if in America they are able to completely comply to the rules and regulations that they have set, I think it would be fine for them.
Kwenyai yemamaske tinonzwa, for example, zviri kuitika kuno kuAmerica, they're now saying nzvimbo dzakawanda, the numbers of COVID-19 cases are slowly decreasing. Some places have reached herd immunity. To study stuff, for example, in Zimbabwe, nzvimbo dzakafana na Vic Falls have already reached herd immunity. Can they start slowly relaxing the conditions in those areas where people can maybe start meeting in more numbers? And, of course, the mask issue, it seems to be something that Vaneta and your mask. Can they start relaxing? What would you say for Zimbabwe?
I think in certain spaces, depending on how they can handle the number of people that are there, they might be able to relax.
Mm-hmm.
But what we should understand is that areas, let's say like Big Falls, are not closed systems.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain people that might be at risk of contacting the virus. So up until the whole world has reached herd immunity and we are confident that the people who are traveling in and people who are traveling out, the borders that have opened, we are confident that they are or have also been vaccinated. I think we should just be cautious in our approach and just adhere to what we've been saying all along up until the pandemic has properly settled. Because as we have noticed and experienced, the pandemic is coming in cycles,
mm-hmm.
whereby first wave, the second wave, and third wave. So we should always be cautious. That's my view as a medical expert, mm-hmm. that we should just continue and be cautious up until a certain percentage of the world. We are confident that those who will be coming in as well and going out have also been vaccinated.
Now, and I like the fact that you highlighted that there's some areas in Zimbabwe, yes, they've taken all these vaccines, but they're still prone to people from other nations coming in, which leads me to my next point here that I want to talk about is what they're calling vaccine tourism in Zimbabwe. We're seeing government is trying to embark on these programs as a means of course, gaining foreign currency. So they're allowing people from different nations and South Africa, especially places like South Africa, to come into Zimbabwe and receive the vaccine, of course, leading to an influx of our foreign currency. From a medical perspective, how safe is such a program?
With the science that is there, we know that handling the pandemic, we've been closing borders so that we prevent inflow of people and so forth, and transmission of different variants. So in a sense, in an economic sense, it really makes sense so that people, the economy might benefit and get a boom because of the depression that has been caused by the pandemic. But we should also be cautious in the way we do it, such that there are regulations that are adhered to that will not compromise the immunity of the rest of the population.
What about from just a resource standpoint, Dr. Smemeza? Earlier on, I played a clip that, of course, the Ministry of Health created and prepared where they're educating people on the vaccines. And the first thing they highlighted is already in the world, not just in Zimbabwe, but in the world, there's a shortage of vaccines. Zimbabwe right now, we're working with vaccines that have been given by places like China and India predominantly because we have three vaccines that are being used in the country. Is allowing other people from other countries to come tap into our resources, not depleting our resources for Zimbabweans alone?
It means it's depleting the resources, but I'm not aware of the plan that the ministry has of acquiring more vaccinations that can be used, channeled towards medical vaccination tourism. So I wouldn't be well versed in that as yet, but I'm also looking to see what the plan is and also get an understanding of how it's going to be implemented.
All right, Dr. Ramai, and then I'll ask you to throw your last sentiments after Tapeza Ocharane Rimi Ramai. Ngatibate nyayo yezviri kuitika nyaya yevaccine tourism uyezve tichitarisa zviri kuitika kuno kuAmerica tiri kuona kuti America vanhu vaakuslowly vanogara kunzvimbo dzakasiyana-siyana vaakupiwa mvumo yekuti vafambe-fambe vasina kupfeka mamask zvinhu izvi tichitarisa vanhu vanopinda muchirongwa munomu vanobva kuZimbabwe navo vanoti aiwa tinonamata Mwari tinonamata the day wetinopiwawo mvumo yekuti tofamba tisina kupfeka mamask aiwa tiri kurinamatira tichiona kuti zvaakuitika kuno kuAmerica nemaondero enyu mungati nangwe iyo Zimbabwe ichasvika padanho rekuti vanhu vachakwanisawo kufamba-famba vasina kupfeka mamask vakasununguka vachisangana neuwandu hwavo mungati Zimbabwe ichasvika panguva iyoyo here.
And you know, and ndinofungira kuti tichasvika but zvichatora nguva inofanira kuva nepatience kuti patichazosvika ipapo tizosvika vanhu vese tiinavo mhuri dzedu tidziri intact. Saka ndinofungira kuti tichasvikapo but hatisati taakusvika pane zvino izvii zvitore nguva kusvikira chirwere ichi chaderera nyika yose pasi pano.
Mungati vanhu vaakutambira nemufaro here chirongwa chekubayiwa nhomba yecovid-19 especially tichitarisa kumaruwa takambokurukura vanhu vazhinji vakati kumaruwa vanhu havasi kuwana ruzivo nezvenhomba dziri kushandiswa munyika mungati vaakuchigamuchira chirongwa ichi here.
I think mbichana mbichana tiri kusvikako maprograms seationa ari kuitwa paradio patv ari kusvikawo munharaunda dzakasiyana-siyana dzisingakwanisiwo kusvika vanhu vachiparidza shoko iri rekuti vanhu vavaccinatwe. So tiri kuona izvo nenyaya yekuti manumbers edu ari kuita achiwedzera evanhu vari kutora nhomba iyi which means shoko rinenge riri kuita tichisvika ange tinofanira kuramba tichinga tichitaurira tichieducata vanhu about the science and make it simple so that munhu wese ani naani zvake kana mwana mucheche anokwanisa kuunderstanda kuti chii riri kuitika.
Tichipeta edu huru kure edu Dr. Smemeza ndiroda kudzokera ndombokudzosai tombobata nyaya yezviri kuitika muzvikoro tinonzwa vazhinji vari kuendera mberi vachichema vachiti covid-19 inenge iri kuendera mberi ichitekeshera muzvikoro Ndeyapi mashoko amungada kupa kune varairidzi kuna kuna baba nana mama vane vana vari kuenda kuchikoro uyezve kune vadzidzi pate zvavo nezvenyaya ye COVID-19.
Ndinoda kukurudzira vanhu vari kuenda kuzvikoro kuti nyangwe hazvo zvikoro zvakavhurwa chirwere checoronavirus hachisati chapera. Hatisati tachikwanisa kunatsochikunda nenyaya yekuti kudzimwe nyika vari kukundikana. Saka kana kudzimwe nyika dzakaita seraindia vari kukundikana zvinoaffecta pasi rose zvakare. Saka tinofanira kurapa tichitevedzera mitemo yakataurwa neMinistry of Health maregulations ekuti tisocial distancing, tipfeke mamaski edu, tirambe tichichingirira kutevedzera mitemo iyi so that hatikwanisi
Aiwa, Dr. Simemeza, thank you so much. As we wrap up, could you please give your last sentiments towards the audience and then we can let you go.
Okay. Tinofana, I just want to encourage all of us to remain vigilant, to remain patient as we are experiencing this pandemic. It's not going to end in a short time, but it needs us to encourage each other. Such that we continue following the regulations that have been set for us by the Minister of Health, and also encourage each other to take vaccines, especially in the small areas that we are in our families, in our communities, to kurudzirana, such that tinobetsera vanhu vakawanda. Because kufa kwemunhu one mumwe, it's a great loss. So hatidi kuti tirasikirwe maningi nevanhu vatinokoshesa o vakatikoshera.
All right, Dr. Tinotenda Tinemeza, thank you so much. As usual, we really, really appreciate you taking time out to be with us here pano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki. Tinotenda zvikuruso.
All right, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure being part of the program.
Awesome. Well, azulukandaba liyamuzwa ngempela uDr. Tinotenda Simemeza ubechasisa ngempela yena njengengcwethi kwezempila kahle echasisa okwenzakalayo elizweni okumayelana ngokumemetheka kwegciwane le-COVID-19. Ngimbuzile lapho besiphetha ingxoxo yethu, ngimbuzile ukuthi Dr. Simemeza, njengoba siyabona ukuthi inani labantwana besikolo njalo ababalisi ababanjwa ligciwane le-COVID-19 likhanya ngani elizweni liyakhuphuka, ungathini kubo? Uyasho ngempela uDr. Simemeza ukuthi abantu, they don't live in a vacuum. Bayasho ukuthi abantu bayaphila emphakathini. So uyakhuthaza uzulu wonke jikelele ukuthi aqhubekele phambili ehlonipha imithetho eyabekwa yinhlanganiso ye-World Health Organization. Yebo, sibona ukuthi kwele Melika bayasho ngempela ukuthi abantu sebengayenelisa ukukhipha ama-mask bebhode-bhode and they can live life. As long as usulithathile i-Jackson elivikela i-COVID-19, usulakho ukuphila impilo yakho ukhululekile kancane. Kodwa uyasho ngempela ukuthi kwele Zimbabwe hayi sisase lesikhathi eside singakafiki kuizinga elifanayo nalokho okwenzakalayo kwele Melika. So uyasho ngempela uDr. Simemeza uthi continue wearing your masks and much more. But now, before we head over to my next guest who's joining us live via telephone from Zimbabwe, I would like to go to a package that we have by VOA correspondent Anita Powell, where she explains ukuthi kwele South Africa, even in South Africa, they face challenges with the vaccination program. However, it has restarted, so the elderly are soon going to be able to receive their COVID jabs. Let's head over to this package, courtesy of Anita Powell.
The work begins in earnest now as South Africa launches its second phase of vaccinations. The vaccine rollout began Monday for those over 60 years old. Health Minister Dr. Zweli Mkhize says the nation expects to receive more than 1.3 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine by the end of the month.
We know that everyone has been very anxious to know what will happen tomorrow and how we will start to vaccinate our most vulnerable citizens and then move on to vaccinating the general population.
Those over 40 years of age will be eligible for vaccines in July, and everyone over the age of 18 will be eligible in November. The government hopes to have 40 million people, the estimated number to achieve herd immunity, vaccinated by February 2022. South Africa's vaccination campaign has had some major setbacks as the nation reversed course on plans to use the AstraZeneca vaccine after studies indicated it might not be fully effective against the variant of the virus that is dominant in South Africa. Also, health workers say even their vaccination process has been far from smooth.
It's chaos. The traffic is a nightmare getting in here. I heard this morning that the staff also had difficulties getting in. As you can see, the traffic behind you, it's been like this since yesterday. queues everywhere of everyone parking outside, inside, just trying to get in and trying to get on the Sisonke trial and trying to get their vaccinations.
Sharon Flint is nursing manager for 15 Johannesburg area elder care homes with about 4,500 residents. While she agrees that the nation's vaccine rollout took longer than she had hoped, she says she's glad it's ramping up now.
We're in regular contact with the Department of Health because they're going to be actually coming to the homes and the care centers for Methodist homes and all the other homes in South Africa. And we've trained our nurses in vaccinating, so we've got our sites ready.
She said that it has been a tough year for her residents here. Some have succumbed to COVID, while others have struggled with the isolation during lockdowns. Flint's 92-year-old mother is in a care facility, and they're planning for the day she is fully vaccinated and can go out.
I'm going to take her out for breakfast. She can have chocolate for breakfast if she wants to. She can do whatever she loves. Just put my arms around her and hug her. So I think it's going to be such a celebration.
That scene is likely to be repeated, with or without the chocolate, across the Rainbow Nation in coming months. South Africa's elderly get this essential protection. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Anita Powell, VOA News, explaining that well, in South Africa, the elderly will soon start receiving the COVID-19 jab. So thank you so much to Dr. Simemeza for taking time out to join us. And of course, just another update, Silikumbuze Zulugandaba in the country, in Zimbabwe, as we speak. 38,572 people have been confirmed for contracting COVID-19. 36,341 people have recovered. And, of course, 1,582 deaths. So now, when we talk about how many people have received the COVID-19 jab, in Zimbabwe, 591,808 people have received the COVID-19 jab. Now, early on, when we started this program, in Zimbabwe, I explained to you, tonight on the program, we're going to be focusing on the COVID-19 pandemic, but the conversation is not just going to be ending there. We're also going to be delving into something that seems to be affecting the youth of the nation, the education sector. Now, since the COVID-19 pandemic, the education sector has been hit hard by the regulations that were put in place to ensure that the COVID-19 pandemic is curbed in Zimbabwe, to ensure that the COVID-19 does not continue spreading in the country. But now, with the effects that went into play, several different things have gone throughout this time period. Over the past year, we have seen teachers be disgruntled by the salaries they're receiving. And of course, another thing was that under the COVID-19 pandemic, government was urging students to continue with e-learning, something that, considering the fact that majority of the population live in the rural settlements of Zimbabwe, they do not have easy access to. But now, Honorable Monica Mchangwa has been pleading with teachers for a very long time now, saying government is looking to work with you. Government is hoping that you will understand. Government is listening to your pleas. Government is looking to fix everything. Please go back to the schools to ensure that the education sector is not hard hit as much as it is right now. Let's head over to a clip that we have. This was a telephone conversation that one of our stringer reporters had with Honorable Monica Mchangwa, whereby she was explaining what government is doing to help students under the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, the issue of rural settlements and not having access to these resources that allow them to prosper during these times, whereby Zimbabwe is still fighting COVID-19. Let's head over to that audio bite of Honorable Monica Mchangwa speaking. Well, Alia Muzwa, Honorable Monica Mchangwa, she was talking about education in Zimbabwe. She's saying, teachers, please work alongside government. Government is looking to work with you to help you get by. One of the pleas of teachers is that they are currently incapacitated. Teachers are not reporting to work every day as per usual. Some are going twice a week. Some are going three times a week. We're going to hear more from the president of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Mr. Opet Masara. shout out, who's going to be joining us. But government there is pleading with teachers, saying go back to school, teach the kids. And of course, they touched on the issue of resources. Government is looking to work hard to ensure that places in rural settlements have access to electricity so that at the very least, kids can have these education through different means, amongst them being the TV learning and radio learning. But now let's hear more. Joining me live via telephone from Zimbabwe is Obet Masaraure, the president of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. Mr. Masaraure, welcome to the program and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Mike, for bringing me on the program.
Now, Anyaere Mgango, you're hearing it, Mr. Masaraure. Let's delve into it. The current state of education in Zimbabwe, what are things looking like for the education sector in Zimbabwe?
Our education sector is in a crisis. It's very unfortunate that our government is failing to address the biting crisis, be it the COVID-19 disruption or the teaching capacitation. So at the end of the day, our learners are suffering. Our almost 5 million learners are not accessing education. Why? Because after the COVID-19 disruption, our government did not move in to bridge the gap of access and save the capacity of our teachers to be able to teach in the classroom. Look at it, we have teachers who are earning almost 17,000 RTGH in our local currency, almost $148 a month. But they're supposed to be paying $300 as fees for their own children to be studying. So what that automatically means is that teachers cannot afford to send their own children to school to learn. And when we have such a situation or such a scenario, it's a crisis where the majority of teachers cannot afford to be in the classroom to teach. And now the teacher incapacitation crisis is adding on to the existing COVID-19 disruption. Mm-hmm. So our education sector is in crisis. It's also underfunded. Look at how much government is spending in the education sector. On average, annually, they are spending less than 13% of the national budget towards education. By the sub-Saharan average of spending, expenditure towards education is over 15% of the national budget. The CAD declaration is almost 22% of funding towards education. So the austerity measures now have forced the learners out of the classroom. And the COVID-19 crisis, COVID-19 situation has forced the learners out of the classroom. And we now have a situation where the girl child is more affected. They are being forced into getting into early child marriages and you name other challenges that they can face. So in short, we have a crisis that has to be resolved, and it cannot be resolved when the government chooses to own up.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's continue on that discussion there of the COVID-19 pandemic, Mr. Masaraure. How exactly did the COVID-19 pandemic affect the education sector? We saw government recently commenting on that by saying we see the results decline, O-level, A-level, grade 7, there was a decline. This was the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic. What else has the COVID-19 pandemic contributed to with regards to the education sector in Zimbabwe?
So obviously, after the 4G schools locked down because of COVID-19, learners had to spend almost a year without accessing the physical classroom. Mm-hmm. And learners were failing to access the physical classroom when Zimbabwe had no a remote learning policy in place. So we didn't have an alternative teaching and learning method outside the physical classroom. So people were eventually, because it was reactive, we were trying to respond. Radio lessons, how many learners in your schools did manage to access them? It was very less than 5% of the rural learners. How many were able to access the PC, among other things? So what that automatically means is learners were not learning because of the COVID-19 disruption. And the longer the learners spend away from the classroom, mm-hmm. the more difficult it is for them to ever return back. Mm-hmm. So we have learners who are not going to be coming back. No wonder why when you witness the 11% drop in the number of people set for all-level examinations. It is not because the enrollment dropped. No. But it is because of the COVID-19 disruption. Some learners never managed to get them to sit in the exam room. Some failed to take the exam fees because of one or other reason, but others realized that they could not sit because they never prepared for the examinations, which is so dangerous for education sector if we are going to be pursuing sustainable development goal number 4, which speaks to inclusivity in our provision to education. So we lost over 11% of our learners at ordinary level who are supposed to be sitting for examinations. Why? Because our the way we were disseminating education was now very much exclusionary for those who had access to the online spaces, to those who had access to remote learning methods outside a comprehensive remote learning policy framework from government.
Now, Ramasa Raure, I want to focus a little more on government attempts to rectify some of the things that were triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic. Amongst them being the teachers' incapacitation that you talked about, that you earlier referred to, and secondly being the resources that are that are needed in areas where people like yourselves teach in the rural settlements. You talked about the fact that the COVID-19 pandemic meant that a lot of students in the rural settlements couldn't study because they didn't have access to be it the internet or be it electricity, which is something that is needed. We early on played a clip of Honorable Monica Mchangwa, A, pleading with the teachers saying, government is looking to work with you to rectify your incapacitation. Please come back to school to ensure that's fixed. And secondly, president has made sure that government is quickly going to be embarking in programs that are going to allow electricity to regularly be there in rural areas to ensure that students can have access to these things, be it if it's not the internet, at the very least they have access to radio and TV learning. What's your reaction to that?
I think those are insincere statements from the Honorable Minister. To begin with, government promised that in January they are going to be announcing a roadmap on how teachers' salaries and other things, so on salaries are going to be restored back to the pre-October era. Because this is the bone of contention, and it was a promise of the ministry responsible for paying our salaries, the employer, the Minister of Public Service. But what happened in January, they deferred to February, and then now they've deferred to eternity. We no longer know where the plan to actually restore our salaries to the pre-October 2018 era. The government knows what should be done, and they are now posturing, pretending to be obviously commiserating with us, but what we only actually know that they are not with us, they are against us. They know that teachers want to teach what they simply need is the restoration of the pre-October salary. And they must simply do that. Then on the issue, what the issue of getting electricity and everything, you know,
Mr. Masarawe.
Propaganda. I was going to intervene, tell the Honorable Minister right here, the policy intervention that was proposed by Ziramatanga in 2000 is to have an education equalization fund. An education equalization fund is the only way we can have electricity in all schools, internet in all schools, is the only way we can have libraries and laboratories.
Mr. Masarawe. Mr. Masaro, let me just hold you there. Please hold that thought for 1 second. Let me quickly take a caller, and then I'm going to come back to you. They might have a question, but I do want to continue on that point that you're talking about of the resources needed in the rural areas. Let me take the caller. I have a caller joining me live from South Africa. Caller, Mtereri Mlaleli Nyagwamgela Kshelo, welcome to the program. Who's on the line? Caller, hello?
Hello?
Yebo, I'm Nomzana Ngubane connecting man.
The language is now.
And Diana Farnare?
I'm from Dube.
Hey, Mr. Dube, unjani Nomzana? Zurufamba?
Very right.
Kuri say kok South Africa kwa Muruko? Yeah, I'm Gango Mainz or Tambo Batanya, Nombay COVID-19. Yes, you know, Tinava Obert Masara or Chubatanya is with Kamuzukoro. And the happy Masho Kamga Dr. Kandra.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Ndikubvunzeyo vadhuve munonzwa hurumende ichiti mari yekubhadhara mayusa vanayo vane varikuda kubhadhara vanhu nelocal currency nekundiyo mari iripo uyezve vari kukumbira varayiridzi kuti vadzokere kuzvikoro vashande pamwe chete nehurumende kuitira kunyaya iyi igadziriso vadzidzi navo vaone mukana wekudzidza zvakanaka mungatii nazvo izvozvo Alright, vadhuve tinotenda zvikurusa nemaondero enyu regai tidzose vamatsaraure tinzwe kuti vangatii nemashoko enyu thank you so much to our caller there, Mr. Dube, Mustivity Dube, who's joining us live from South Africa there. He had some words for government saying, respect the teachers, ensure that the teachers are well paid because they are an important pillar of our society when it comes to education. Mr. Masaraure, let's bring you back there. Are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Right, ngati endere mberi nezvamanga muchitaura nenyaya yemaresources arikana kumaruwa ko.
Alright, ndinotenda mukoma and ndinotenda zvataurwa navadhuve kuti hurumende yedu hainga itesa baba vanonyima vana mari yefizi neenda kuchipatara. Yezoti panopera mwedzi baba voti mari dzatakachengeta mwedzino dzawanti dzakanyanyisa. Asi takachitaura paya nyaya yemaresources emuchikoro. Tirikuti hakuna mwana ane kodzero yekushaya bhuku rekubereka achienda kuchikoro. Ndanga ndiri kuchikomba musi uno chizi vana vanoverenga bhuku rimwe chete reEnglish vari 45 asi vachidaizonyora English comprehension. Iyaya munoverenga senyaya inodaizonyorwa mubvunzo uchipindira zvawaverenga mucomprehension macho. So what we are saying is at the end of the day, the government should ensure that we have adequate teaching and learning material in our schools. We know there's been a big gap, and then the digital divide obviously affected the rural learners during the COVID-19 disaster. But what have we learned as a people? We are simply saying, let's go back to the recommendations of the Ramasaga Commission. Mm-hmm. The recommendations which were so clear that we need an education equalization fund. Eventually, we need a laboratory in the teacher. We need a computer lab in being whatever school you can name. But how do we get there? We need to set a plan as a people. That is from our revenue, from mineral wealth, what percentage contribution are we getting towards education? Mm-hmm. That is the amount we're going to build a library, a STEM facility in Chikwamba and everything. So we haven't been systematic in the way we've been planning for education. We haven't been planning for education. We've been very reactive. We've been reactionaries. We should get to a point where we become revolutionary. Revolutionary to the extent that we are saying exclusion of other citizens from accessing education is unacceptable. How do we ensure that again is accessible to anyone and everyone? The fund should be in place. Let's have a 30-year plan, 10-year plan, 20-year plan, depending on how much we are getting annually from our revenue to fund our education. Honestly, it is possible that in 2030, mm-hmm. every school in Zimbabwe should have electricity and internet, a library, a laboratory.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Masarawe, I'm also a little more curious here in terms of, you know, one of the things that as teachers you really complained about, and I'm hoping before we wrap up we'll play a bite by Taungana Mandoro of, you know, a government representative. You were talking about PPE access in schools. What's going on there?
It is very unfortunate that there hasn't been transparency with regard to whatever trigger is facing towards safety in schools. Where is the money going? The same Matema has told us that they are drilling boreholes. We have tried to do an audit. Not much of boreholes were drilled. When 600 million RDK was in place, we were told it was certain boreholes, but not much of boreholes were drilled. Be it PPE, we are told that a lot of money, be it from our own treasury or from other partners in the globally, who are supporting education, some resources have been saved. Even if you are going to be reading the central budget, the Minister of Finance acknowledges support towards education during the COVID-19 pandemic. But in both of the schools, we still see learners in need. And we don't believe that PPE is that expensive. It would have been provided with all the resources that pay. So the challenge here is about accountability. Where is the money for COVID-19 going? Anyone and everyone can be a propagandist. You saw this indoor popular voice stage, anything and everything to make government look good. But let's see the figures. I want to know how many boards have been drilled, how many masks have been procured, how much has been spent towards A, B, C, D to ensure that our schools are so secure. The government is not telling us that. But they will come here and speak to you and say a lot of things in flowery language, but nothing so tangible that we can relate back to the resources that have been invested in our education system.
Let me hold you on the line there for a second. Let's head over to the audio clip that we have of Taunga Nandoro, who here he's commenting on the strides that government has made in the fight against COVID-19 within Zimbabwean schools. Muriya Zimbabwe, the next bite that we're about to play is Taunga Nandoro commenting on schools in Zimbabwe. Let's head over to that.
Bazere primary and secondary education rinonzwa manyukunyuku zvikuru nekuti vadzidzi nevadzidzisi vakabatwa neutachiwana weCOVID-19 pakatanga temu ino. Vazhinji vacho vakaita anonzi marecoveries vekuSacred Heart nekuna naEmbakwe zvekuti izvezvi zvine mhaka yemastandard operating procedures edu. Vaya vatingati vane maactive cases vakadzikira zvikurusa. Saka isu tinonzwa kufara kuti zvikoro zvedu zviri kuteedzera mastandard operating procedures. Avo vaya vanotaura kuti vakaitawo gwaro ravo rekutarisawo kuti zvakamira sei zvakamira sei havanongozvionerawo vega nekuita marecoveries ari kuitika uye nekuita kwatinoti containment the spread of COVID-19 kuti isapararira iri kuita basi redu reprimary nesecondary education.
All right, Maria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Taunga Nandoro, government official there, explaining what's happening in Zimbabwean schools. Vama Saraure, you have a minute left. Let's wrap up here. You heard what Mr. Nandoro said. How do we resolve this issue and have teachers back in school helping the education system in Zimbabwe?
If we want to have teachers back in school, they should be paid pre-October 2018 salaries. And then obviously, Ndoro was lying. Schools are not secure. Schools are not adhering to standard operating procedures. We did the survey in April 2021. Our compliance with standard operating procedures stands at less than 50% of the national the national statistics of compliance standard operating procedures. Our schools are high risk. So if the third West is going to hit us as a people, be rest assured that our schools are going to be super spreaders.
All right, Mr. Masarawe, I'm going to have to hold you there. Unfortunately, time has run out, but thank you so much for taking time out to be with us. Pano Pachirongwa Chedu, we really appreciate you as usual. Muri Zimbabwe, Tashrika Kumakume Chirongo Chedu Chanasi, we've come to an end of our program. And I'm Shanje Wushelelechu. Thank you so much to Dr. Tinotendas Memeza and everybody who wrote their comments. Just a couple of comments. Anzana Farai, Ndine Shungu, Zupinda Umchirongwa, Asi Network, Ma One Farai, Ma One. But thank you so much for your comments. Muri Zimbabwe, Tashrika Kumakume Chirongo Chedu Chanasi. All good things must come to an end, you know, Buruka, you know, Mara. But for those looking to chat with me, I'm available on Instagram and on Twitter at BigMike3, BigMyke3. Anokoneka inemfaro, ndini Mike Hove, muri